From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guests today are Dex Palmer and Som Ghosh of the East Meets West dubstep duo Subshanti. Since meeting in college at Nashville's prestigious Belmont, home of the vaunted Recording Arts and Music program, the duo has been using Somji's classical background and cello skills to bring Eastern sounds to Dex's banging beats and bass. Additionally, Dexter Palmer is the namesake of DexFest, the annual electronic music bash that takes place in the woods of Dandridge, Tennessee. So we'll also discuss show promotion and festivals and all that fun stuff, in addition to Space Zen, the new album from Subshanti, out November 11th. Today's show is brought to you by DJ Tech. They've got all the live production and studio gear you need, from beginners to touring professionals. DJ Tech has the goods for you. They're actually putting up a DJM 303, an iDant Zero, and the massive U2 workstation for the top finalists in the Unce Challenge 2, which is going on right now. We've got 16 competitors going head-to-head in our last preliminary round, the Heaters Bracket. That's all dubstep, drum and bass, and heavy glitch. Please visit theunce.com/theuncechallenge2 to cast your vote for your favorite track. The top two producers move on. Check out all the gear and more at djtechpro.com. All right, let's get to the interview with Dex Palmer and Somji. I want to start from the beginning because, you know, you're both major figures in Tennessee's EDM scene and really that whole Piedmont Southeast region. But I want to take it back to the beginning, where your love for music began. I want to know what you were listening to as a kid.
I guess I'll go first. This is Som. I started with a classical background. My family, I studied violin performance when I was 3 and then moved to cello when I was 5. I also listened to mainstream music, rock, whatever was on in the 90s. But then I changed over to electronic music, honestly, when I was young, 12, with the whole trance scene. Got into drum and bass a little bit, breakbeat, mainly towards 2001 to 2005, and started producing a lot.
What sort of drove you into the classical field? Because I know that you're a very accomplished cellist.
Well, actually, it's just something my family was into. My mom was had a Eastern classical and Western classical composition major. So she brought us up to study music. My brother and I. My brother also played violin. So I just studied cello performance, not orchestra, but solo performance. But I kind of changed to electronic music because I like producing. I like producing my own music instead of playing other people's music.
Sure, sure. And Dex, do you have a similar story? Did you grow up listening to a lot of the pop and rock of whatever was around when you were a kid?
Yeah, well, I'm from East Tennessee, so I grew up on a lot of Southern rock. I loved Led Zeppelin. Jimmy Page was one of my big idols. A lot of Pink Floyd, Black Sabbath, stuff like that. And so around in third grade, I started playing guitar a lot. Then as into high school, I kind of started getting into producing a little bit more, and actually sold some of my more expensive guitars to actually get a decent computer and a MIDI controller. Started getting into producing. I actually went to Bonnaroo 5 years ago and saw DJ Shadow and some of those kids, and then just fell in love with the scene. Came back home and started making, electronic music and dubstep after that.
Obviously, a great deal of where your passion and ambition lies is in promotion. I want to dig into that because a great number of our listeners are not only producers, but throw parties and shows and one day hope to get into the festival game. First of all, I imagine it's not for the faint of heart.
No.
Oh, no, definitely. throwing music festival is definitely wild. The first one, DexFest 09, that basically was just me and my friends getting together. I believe it was after an Eoto show, who headlined DexFest the second year. We were all just hanging out after a show, And my 21st birthday was coming up, and we all made music and played in bands. And my family, you know, they have campgrounds in East Tennessee, and we were like, fine, let's just try to throw a music festival. All of our friends got together and it blew up that year. We had ended up getting like Dark Party, which is Elliot Lip, to get on board with that. And so they came out, and you know, then all the friends and family showed up. We had a great time. Second year, we got, you know, some more, you know, bigger acts, Big Gigantic, Starkey, Iodo, Conspirator. They all came out the second year. And then, you know, this year we had, you know, like Skrillex and Ghostland. So, I mean, it's just crazy how it's changed and got so well accepted in the community, you know, and all the fans. And it really just, you know, growing a family of friends who all throw these parties, and just everyone gets to come together. You know, it's more like a family reunion of just everybody who makes music.
Is there some sort of understanding that you've reached through the years? You finally achieved Nirvana and it came to you in a blinding flash of light, like, oh, this is the key to throwing a successful show or festival? Or is it just different every time?
Oh yeah, it's different every time. You think you figured out, you know, the year before, and then you get there this year and something else happens. You're like, oh wow, we didn't see that one coming, you know. But, you know, it's just going around, traveling, seeing all of the other festivals and seeing how they do things. You know, everybody, it's a learning experience all the time. It's just great to get, you know, all your, to see who all gets involved. New people come in, new people, you know, have great ideas. And it's just, you know, an evolving thing. You know, what's hot this year can be completely different than what's coming up next year. So.
Like a Candy from Subshanti's Space Zen, here's Keys and Crates with Ring the Alarm.
Alarm from Keys and Crates' Blackout EP. That'll be out on Monday, November 7th. They're on tour now with Lotus.
So let's talk about Sub Shanti. First, Sam, why don't you tell me how you even became aware of Dex and even came together and thought that maybe we can do something together?
Actually, we went to college together, and we actually live across the street also in the Gulch. Randomly
in Nashville.
Yeah, in Nashville. There's these two condos, like there's two skyscrapers in downtown, and like there's right across the street. Yeah, I played at Dexfest 1. I've been doing like music a lot. I just did a lot of music stuff. Actually, I had like a solo like when I did Electro House. But then like I was just in music business. Like we had music business degrees from Belmont, and like we just like one day I was playing some dubstep and Dex was like, "Yo, it's cool" or something. And then we started producing.
Yeah,
together.
Yeah. We live just like literally across the street, so we hang out all day. We do is make music and work on the shows, and then going to school together. It's like, oh, we took all the same classes since we're taking the same major in Belmont, such a small school. So literally it's
like now that we graduated, like we have like full time to dedicate so much more like fulfilling and like satisfying now.
It's basically like we're roommates, but it's just we got two the street.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
So Shanti, like we came up with that, like I went to India and recorded a bunch of instrumentals, like all the sitar on the album, and because my family's from there, and like I flew there and like record all that stuff. So a lot of Indian influence in the music, like progression wise, all up, and like just you'll hear some sitar and some different, you know, notes that you would hear in my Western classical. But the thing is, like, we got Shanti, but the sub, like, in India means all, but over here, like, you know, that's a bass and, like, subwoofers. So we just, like, figured that would be a good name. Like,
yeah, and it's, like, bass. The mix of, like, you know, I've got, like, more of the American style, and he's got, you know, a lot of the Western style training together. It's just, we felt it'd be a great mix. You know, we saw it, like, you know, kind of one night we were out together, and it was like, wow, we could really do this
project. And also, like, from a, like, business standpoint also, like, it just worked out, too, because both of us were able to come together and, like, in collective ideas and work on business together also. So
mm-hmm.
It also kind of, it's like, it was a combination of both of the things.
Mm-hmm. And we both have shared this idea of, you know, starting a music company that encompasses the, you know, great artists and talent and developing them, because both of us, you know, both produce music and have went to school for music business. So we've started this company, SCG Universe, where, you know, we have artists, we do management and booking, and then we have events that we do like Dex Fest, and then
like the official Skrillex after party, or like just anything, just a lot of different stuff,
you know, just starting a collective where, you know, great talent can get together and all of us just work together. And, you know,
yeah, and it's about getting, like, a lot of these, there's a lot of young, really good producers in this region in Nashville, and, like, Nashville, like, alone has some amazing electronic talent, and I feel like, production-wise, like, you hear about L.A., you hear about New York, you hear about Miami, and Nashville people think, like, obviously everybody thinks country music, but, like, the dubstep scene here is really strong in, like, the electronic music scene.
And this proves that, you know, even with the festival this year, you know, how fast it's grown in only 3 years' time. You know, we went from having, you know, Elliot Lip and then all regional acts. From now, you know, Skrillex, Ghostland, Conspirator have all played on the same stage, so it's just crazy how receptive Tennessee has been to this type of music.
Do you have any advice for folks who are not only trying to promote their own shows, but play them too? Is it possible to give both 100%, or do you have to just hustle as best as you can to make sure the show is both running smoothly and you're prepared for your own set?
You have to have a lot of good people working with you.
Up with everyone.
We teamed up with,
you know, March 1, and we've got, you know, Full Circle here in Nashville, and Everything's Nice. You know, it's about that and establishing relationships with them.
And no matter what happens here, like, the people here, like, they work hard. And
yeah, you have to.
They're all trying to make the scene grow. So in the end of the day, like, you can work out some things with the people, and as long as it's a win-win for both parties, it works out.
And it does seem like you're definitely reaching out from your region. It's not just Nashville folks, but you're reaching out to that whole Bass Church crew. There's Fast Nasty and Spooky Jones and Mind Elixir, and you know they're really doing their thing over in North Carolina, and you seem to have locked down your region in Tennessee. It's just everything working together.
Me and Fast Nasty went to high school together.
He's actually playing at our show like next week.
Yeah, so it's awesome to see that. And then Two Fresh, man, I went to school with those kids.
I went to
East
middle
Tennessee
school.
So yeah. I mean it's unreal how all connected it is. It's all a bunch of group of friends, you know.
That's fantastic. Let's talk about your actual live show, because it seems really complicated when Som is playing cello and when you guys are both producing. Or I just wonder how you're trading roles and figuring out what it is that each of you need to be doing at any time, or communicating on stage. If you could pull back the curtain a little bit, it would be, you know, pretty revealing.
I mean, we've just through playing a lot of shows and practice, we've kind of reached that place where it's just, we're really comfortable now with how it goes. We communicate a lot on stage.
Yeah, communication. And you don't even talk now. It's like we don't talk on stage at
Too
all,
much,
hardly.
No.
You just look over. And
now it's just like we know.
But you just have to see it.
Yeah, but like we also like communicate like before mixes and changes, and we talk about, I mean, we communicate pretty well on stage. I think that's important.
And in like the track production is like, man, we'll spend all day, all night on certain little parts of a song, you know, and then developing, you know, roles, we're like, oh wow, the cello right here, you know, like, so, you know, you build that into the song, you know, knowing it right away. It's fun.
Track from Subshanti's forthcoming release, Space Zen, out on 11/11/11. Let's wrap up the interview. So let's talk about the new album, Space Zen. It's coming out on November 11th.
Yeah.
Tell me about the creative process behind these tracks. Did you have a concept of what you wanted to achieve going into it, or were the songs just organic productions
from
your years of work together?
They came out of nowhere. The production was very technical.
Mm-hmm. Just, you know, coming from Belmont, we both, you know, have taken audio classes there. Great teachers. You learn a whole lot at that school. So, and then basically just the album has changed so much. We've taken songs off, replaced them, redid it, put songs back on. You know, it's so hard to call a track finished, you know. So with the album, though, we wanted it's we kind of wanted it to be like a soundscape where you put the whole album on, you listen to
listen
it
all the way through,
all the way through it. It's not,
it's
you
a
know,
total experience.
Yeah, it's, because it's an experience to listen to.
I feel like that's kind of lost with the industry nowadays, with singles taking over the market. But I feel like a good album all the way through is kind of what we want to do with it.
So I imagine this calls back to your roots, listening to an album all the way through. I imagine you were Pink Floyd fans as kids, coming up in that sort of total album experience, and one flows from the next. Along with what you're saying, that it's sort of lost in today's market of singles, do you see the album coming back as a long form thing? Because in your field, in production, in especially DJing, people are changing tracks like every DJ's got ADD. A track is on for a minute and 30. You hear that build up, drop, and it's on to the next thing.
Our live show is a show.
Our live show is a straight show. Yeah, we always play 100% original.
Yeah, there's no eight. It's none of that. When you see Subshanti live, you. It's something you can just want to watch. It's a beautiful experience to watch.
DJed some like in the beginning, but then we moved straight to like just producing as many as we can so we don't run out of material to play.
And it all, like you said, it does all go back to your roots and just listening to that.
Exactly.
And just wanting to see, you know, like I don't know if like Nero, some of our big influences now,
Nero.
Skrillex, Bass Nectar, all the top producers. We love their style, and like the new Nero album was really influential. Listening to that, because you can just put that album on and it'll play all the way through.
Yeah, I think they knew what they were doing.
And some of the older producers, that we listened to like right when we got into the scene.
I actually was listening to like Paul Oakenfold back in like 1990, his Gus Gus remixes, and just hearing those mixes all the way through. You know how like DJ mixes are like 70 minutes sometimes, the old ones. And that's kind of like a little bit of that, but with like today's like, obviously in the production, you don't keep the like groove as much, but there's a lot more like technical stuff involved. And I think you'll see like a good blend in both on our album, because, dubstep nowadays, there's a lot of tough dubstep to listen to, but there's also like really good like musical dubstep too. And I think that's what makes it different.
And you've been in that dubstep scene for a while, and I wonder how you've seen that sound evolve during that time and how that's affected what you're doing.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Like, totally. Our album, we changed the whole album, like, last 2 weeks because of how sound has evolved within the last 6 months, because we had the album done, and then sound evolved 3 months in the waiting period to release it, to the release date. And so we had to go back.
We went back and redid it.
I mean, with a lot of producers who don't have the classical training that both of you have, and that compositional training, and that technical information that you've lived with from going to college and studying this, a lot of button pushers can use shortcuts to find the build, find the drop, do that all, on the screen. But because you guys do have this musical and compositional training and classical music at the heart of it, I imagine that then pushes you to stretch and let the music breathe and not just go straight into slamming bro step.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The music is far from bro step a lot of the times.
But, I mean, you just have to listen to it and kind of hopefully, like, people enjoy it,
And the album, it changes throughout the tempo. It's all up and down. It brings you up, brings you down. Like, you got the peaks, you got the builds. You got the songs where you can just chill on. The album, it's all over the place. Anybody who likes all styles of electronic music, we feel, can get into it. Not just the hardcore dubstep fans, or not just the hardcore electro fans. We wanted to get something that's more, mass appealing. So the album's probably got a song on there for everybody, hopefully.
And do you have to go out and seek out that proper Eastern influence, or is it just intrinsic to your music now? Whenever you sit down to build a track, it's just what happens.
Everything I do with the music, I feel like it just comes in my head. Like, I don't have any control. I like hear beats all day long. And, like, it's kind of weird. Like, even when I'm like going to sleep, I like I just hear all these different notes all the time since I was like 11. And because my parents, they exposed me to music such a young age. Like my mom, as I said, she was like had a composition major. And my brother also played violin. So, but she would also take me to like sitar like concerts where there'd be just a sitar player who just played for like 3 hours straight, or like a tabla player who played for like all night. And all these different instruments, I got to like be exposed to them when I was young, because I had like, I was lucky to have an international background. And so I just hear it. If I like hear it play this track, I'll just like hear the sitar in the track and just put it in there.
And vice versa, Dex, do you feel that banging bass and drums when he's bringing a melody to you and it just fits? You don't really have to work that hard at it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sometimes you work hard at it and sometimes it's just there. Like you'll sit down and it'll just,
yeah, like with the bass, like I also like, I kind of consider myself as like a really technical like electronic producer when I did like electro house and stuff. And like, so like that portion of production, I will say, like, you cannot just do it. You have to like sit and you have to like grind.
You have to put in the 24 hours.
You have to put in the hours <All nights. laughs> to do the technique properly. Like, no matter how much like music that's in your brain, to get it to come out of a computer, you have to do it. You have to be technically like solid for it to be proper. I mean, there's no way really around it. It takes a lot of hard work and hours. But the music, like hearing it,
yeah, that just comes all the time. Yeah. You hear it, it's so cool when you like after you get through with a song and you're listening to it, you know, you can hear like all your influences from all the stuff you've heard your whole life, you know, like, yeah. Oh yeah, like that kind of sounds like that, you know, that was really cool.
It's like all in your brain though. It's mm-hmm. all jump. Like in the one, but then you make your own creation.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And people are gonna enjoy it when the album comes out on the 11th, and then you've got your big release show on the 18th at Maya Nashville. Tell me a bit about that show and who else is on the bill.
Oh, we're actually showcasing some of our SEG artists that night. So it's just gonna be a big family party. We've got Nitro, Sohella. Of course, we're playing. Then we've got our other friend, LaBalm, who's spinning as well. And they all produce and they all have original music. So it's going to be
then
a great
we
party.
Have this feature artist from
Memphis coming up.
Citizen Flip, and then from North Carolina, I think. I'm not sure if they're from there, but they're called Crywolf. They're like a new dubstep band. They've actually started to get some headway. But yeah, it should be a pretty good party.
And then you've got a listening party on the 11th?
Yes.
Oh yeah, we're doing a listening party on 11/11/11 here in Nashville at Love Is Earth.
It's an awesome little store. It's got some cool clothes.
Yeah, they have a bunch of they have like their own merchandise, and of course they carry all the rad gear.
That's fantastic. Dex Palmer, Som G, we're looking forward to the new album. Thanks so much for being on the Uns podcast.
Thank you so much.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. Special thanks go to my guests, Som Ghosh and Dex Palmer. Subshanti's new album, Space Zen, comes out on 11/11/11, and their release show will be at Mai in Nashville on November 18th, featuring Crywolf, Sohella, Nitro, Flip, and more. And keep your eyes and ears peeled for news about DexFest 2012. Remember, the second annual UNS Challenge is going on now. We've got 16 competitors going head-to-head in the Heaters Bracket, and your votes will determine who moves on to the final round, which is right around the corner. The grand prize winner gets to open up for Lotus sometime in 2012, gets all sorts of gear and swag, and will be able to produce their very own EP at What Music in Fort Collins. Please visit theunce.com/theuncechallenge2 for more details and to cast your vote. And again, for the best in DJ gear and accessories, visit djtechpro.com to check out the vast array of mixers, workstations, and toys for DJs of all stripes. That's djtechpro.com. Win tickets to see Atari Teenage Riot in Pittsburgh, Infected Mushroom in Philly, and Re-Up in Denver featuring Laser Sword, Hayoka, Stefan Jacobs, Arch Nemesis, and more by visiting theunce.com/contests. Please visit theunce.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, please contact me at anand@theunce.com. That's ANAND at theunz.com. Join the conversation at the Unz Podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.